So, my session is, we titled it, Homework Help for Parents. And so, first, before I get into the homework help, before I get into giving any tips, so I just wanted to speak a little bit about myself, right? Some of you might know me as the new fellow, right? I'm brand new to the COLL, fresh off the boat from Teaneck. And so you're probably wondering who I am, first of all, and why I'm giving this specific subject. So let's start with who I am. My name is Noah Wittenberg. I'm brand new from Teaneck. So I spent 4 years learning in YU, three of them actually in the New York Base Medrash, one of them in the Gruss Kollel in Yerushalayim. And then after that, I decided it was time to get a job. So what did I do? I got a job teaching middle school. I taught in a place called Highland Park, New Jersey, not to be confused with Highland Park, Illinois. And I taught at a school that is normally known as RPRY, which stands for the Rabbi Pesach Raymond Yeshiva. And so it was not on my radar to teach. I take that back. It was not on my radar to teach middle school. It kind of fell into my lap, to make a long story short. And so I embraced it. And I figured I'll learn as much as I can from the experience, and I'll see how far the experience will go. And so, you know, I guess it's no secret that the experience only lasted 1 year, because then this opportunity came up to move to Chicago, and I couldn't say no. But in that 1 year, I learned a tremendous amount, both about myself, about my skills and what I have to offer, but more importantly about learning with adolescents. And I learned a lot about how adolescents work and how to more effectively learn with them and so on. And so that is what I'm hoping to tap into today. I'm hoping to speak a little bit about the most effective ways to learn with one's kids. So just as a point of introduction, I'm not here to try to teach you how to be a teacher. Right? Everyone spends a very good amount of money on teachers. So I'm not here to teach you how to be a teacher, but rather what I'm here to do is try to help give guidance about how to be the most, how we can make our time learning with our kids the most effective. So why do I care about this so much? So I can tell you as a former Rebbe, there's a very tangible difference between the parents who put in the time with their kids and the parents who don't. So I'll use one example from one of my classes last year. I taught three classes last year. I taught 8th grade boys, and I taught 7th grade girls, and I taught 6th grade girls. And so, you know, the younger they were and the less boys they were, the easier the class was, and the more I was able to get done without, you know, worrying about all of the disciplinary issues. And so with the 6th grade girls, we learned about the Malachos of Shabbos. And there were two girls in the class who were on a very similar level. They both got extra help, meaning that when I gave out a study guide to the class, I gave them study guides that were filled in with all the answers. And they got extra time if they chose to take it, and they both got pulled out for resource room. But there was a big difference between these two students. One was getting A's, and one was getting B's. So what was the difference between the A student and the B student? It was the amount of time that their parents put in with them at home. Right? The girl who was getting A's would tell me that her mom knew when a test was coming, she knew when a quiz was coming, and she made her study. They would sit down and they would go over the material, and it wasn't until the mom said that you're ready, you know this material, that she was allowed to go and do her other activities. The other girl, so she was kind of left to herself. Her mom didn't give her as much support. And so a little bit I stepped in, but, you know, I had three classes. So there was only one of me, and there were many of them. And so she didn't do as well. And as much as I tried to help her, there was only so much I could do. And so when it came to taking quizzes and tests, there was a tangible difference between the girl whose parent put in time with her at home and the girl whose parent didn't. And it's not that the girl's parent put in time with her at home was the teacher. She wasn't taking my spot. She was only helping me out. She was only helping her daughter out to have a better education. So my goal for today is not to make anyone a teacher, right? Nobody should be a teacher, but we should know how we can use our time most effectively. We only have a limited amount of time. With COVID, maybe we have a little more time. We have less of a commute. Nonetheless, we're finding ways to fill it. But our kids more than ever need that extra support. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So before I get into the actual tips, I want to give two pieces of background. So the first piece of background is it's all about learning with your kids. So the first piece of background is a point that Rabbi Herschel Schechter from YU likes to make a lot. He talks about when you open up the Sefer Chinuch, which counts all the mitzvos in the Torah. So the very first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Pru Revu, to populate the world. And so the way Rav Schechter likes to put it is that it used to be the mitzvah of Pru Revu was just to populate the world. Right? There was Adam Arishon, and then there was Chava. And so they had the mitzvah of Pru Revu, populate the world, right? Fill the world with people. But then the trajectory changed. It wasn't just that we had to populate the world. But then Avraham Avinu, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he had his son Yitzchak, who had Yaakov, who we all descend from. Right? We make the Jewish people. So Rav Schechter likes to say that the mitzvah is no longer to populate the world. But after that and after Mount Torah, after we got the Torah, so the mitzvah became to have Jewish children of Jewish values. And so the only way that they're going to have those Jewish values is if we raise them that way. And so part of that is by example, leading by, you know, it's invaluable leading by example, the amount we can accomplish by leading by example. But on top of that, we have to teach them, right? We have to tell them what our values are and what our values aren't. So that's number one about teaching our kids. But number two is I want to talk about someone named Yehoshua ben Gamla. And the Gemara, actually, in Bava Basra, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, says, She'omalehu nishtachak Torah Mitzrayel. If it weren't for Yehoshua ben Gamla, the Torah would have been forgotten. Right? That's a pretty high accolade. If it weren't for Yehoshua ben Gamla, the Torah would have been forgotten. So what did Yehoshua ben Gamla do? So originally, the mitzvah as we have it, Vishinantam Levanecha, right? You should teach your kids. The Torah says Vishinantam Levanecha. We say it in Shema. That you should teach your kids. And so that was the mitzvah. That every parent had to teach their kids Torah. But the Gemara there in Bava Basra says, but you had some people who their parents weren't capable of teaching them Torah. So the Gemara said, okay. The rabbis came together and they decided a new plan. We're going to have a school in Yerushalayim. And you have to take your kids to Yerushalayim. And that's where your kid's going to learn Torah. But the Gemara said that there was another problem with that. Not everyone had parents who were able to bring them to Yerushalayim. So the rabbis said, okay, new plan. What we're going to do is every region is going to have a school. And if you live in that region, you have to bring your kids to that school. And so they decided that this is going to start at the age of 16 or 17. But the Gemara said there was a problem. If you have a kid who's 16 or 17 years old, so whatever education they've been getting up until now, fine. But they haven't been sitting in class. I can tell you from personal experience, getting kids to sit in class is not easy. And you know what the secret is? Get them to not sit. Right? The secret is to get them standing up, moving around, doing stuff, and that's when they learn the most. But getting them to sit in class, it's not easy, and we take it for granted because as adults, we sit and we listen. But to get it to do it for a kid, it's not easy. So the Gemara said that these 16 or 17-year-olds, so since they hadn't had a formal education before, they would just stand up and walk out, and it was hard to keep them there. So Yoshua ben Gamla came around and he said, new plan. Every single city is going to have a school. And starting at 6 or 7, you're going to send your kids to school. And so that's basically school as we know it. When does first grade start? At the age of 6. Right? We start kindergarten, which is like, you know, the school of how to do school, where we kind of get kids ready for the idea of school. But it's not where formal education starts. Formal education starts at 6 in the first grade. And so we've definitely come to recognize how valuable our schools are, even if it sometimes costs us more money than we wanted to. And even if there's other complaints we could find about the school. But we've come to recognize that from, you know, March until June, when kids were learning over Zoom, it wasn't the same. Parents don't have as much time to give to their kids. And so it just wasn't as effective. We need our kids in school. And so this is what Yoshua ben Gamla gave to us with the start of the school system. But when you boil it down to the base, so what is the most basic obligation? Parents have to teach their kids. And so even if you're paying someone, and that's considered, you know, teaching your kids, there's still the obligation of the parents, and still we have to ensure that our kids are getting exactly what they need. So today I want to talk about 3 tips about how we can make our time with our kids as effective as possible. All right, what are 3 things that if we focus on these things and we master these things, then we can ensure that our kids, not only in school, will get a good education, but at home, we can help ensure that we are giving them as much as we can. So tip number 1, and this is something that I personally learned the hard way, is know what you want to accomplish. If you've ever gone to a class or to a shiur or to a lecture or just spoken with someone and you were unsure what they were trying to tell you, so it was probably because they didn't know what they were trying to tell you. They were just spewing information. You know, if you've ever, I personally feel like when I'm asked to speak last minute, it doesn't really turn out well. Why? Because I don't really know what I'm trying to say. Right, I'm trying to think of it on the spot. And when that happens, it's not organized. It's not clear. I don't have a thesis. And so one of the most important things we can do when teaching anyone anything, especially our kids, is know what you want to accomplish. So I want to use the following idea to emphasize this. So Rav Volpe has a sefer that's been translated into English about kids, about raising kids. He calls it Planting and Building. And so in there, he talks about how there's actually a discrepancy in the first paragraph of Shema and the second paragraph. So in the first paragraph of Shema, we say the words, Vishinantam Levanecha B'dibartabam. You should teach your kids, you should teach it to your kids and speak it to them. But in the second paragraph of Shema, we say, "V'limadatam osam es b'neichem ledaber bam." You should teach your kids how to speak them. Right? Both speaking about words of Torah. So the first paragraph, you should teach your kids and speak the words to them. And the second paragraph, you should teach your kids how to speak the words. And so Rav Volpe in his sefer, he actually says that the idea is that we start by, you know, when a kid's young and they don't know how to read and they haven't mastered those formal skills yet, so we just have to speak to them, right? We take Torah and we speak it to them. We tell them stories, we tell them rules, and whatever we tell them. And then when they get older, we want them to speak it on their own, right? We don't want it to just be that we're speaking to them, but we want them to speak on their own, whether it be that they give their own ideas, or whether it be that they know how to open up a sefer and learn it themselves. But the goal is to give them some independence. And I think that's a nice idea, but I want to add an addition to it. I think you could understand Vishinantam Livanecha Vidibhartabham. Vidibhartabham means that I'm trying to teach my kid a fact. I want my kids to know a specific fact. I want them to know that Yaakov Avinu lived to be 147 years old. I want them to know that Moshe Rabbeinu lived to be 120 years old. I want them to know a specific fact, right? You should know this. You don't need to know anything else. You don't need to be able to open up a sefer and read. You don't need any other prior knowledge. You just need to know this fact. But the other goal is v'limadatem osam es b'neichem le'daber bam. You should teach your kids how to read. They should have a skill, right? They should know that they should know how to open up a chumash and read the pesukim by themselves. How they can read the words of the chumash by themselves, or open up a gemara and read the words of the gemara by themselves. Right, so on the one hand, we have Yishinantam Levenachem Vidibartabam. You should speak the words to them, teach them facts. Or Vidimadatam Osam Espinechem Ledabirbam. That you should teach your kids how to do it on their own. And so these are really two skills that are taught a lot in the classroom. And so when your kids are coming home with work, they're probably doing more of the latter. They're probably working more on a skill, on how to formalize a skill. But sometimes they're working on the former also. Right, so if you have, sometimes you have in class, the teacher wants the kid to know, or it could be a mixture of both. So let me explain. So sometimes there are facts that, you know, you want the teacher trying to teach the kid to know. So last year when I was teaching the Melachos of Shabbos, there were some things I wanted them to know. They didn't have to know anything else. That, you know, they had to know that a Melacha is a forbidden act on Shabbos. They just had to know that. They didn't have to know any other formal skill. It was just a piece of knowledge. Or maybe I wanted them to know that they could read and translate the words. They could know that, you know, dash means threshing and zora means winnowing, and they could read these words and they could understand them, and they could tell me what the act is besides threshing, which is a very abstract thing, or winnowing, which is a very abstract thing. Or sometimes I wanted them to know a mixture of both. I wanted to know them to know how to read and translate the word malacha, and to know that it's a forbidden act, and to tell them, and for them to be able to tell me, you know, what that act actually looks like. But you should know what you're trying to teach your kids. So if your kid comes home and the assignment is that they should review reading and translating certain psukim, so they should be able to read and translate. That's all you need to know. You know, if you were to go off on a tangent and say this is so interesting, you know, this is so interesting, some people explain it this way and some people explain it that way, but I really think it's this way. So while that might be interesting and while that might capture some people's attention, it takes away from your overall goal, right? You need to have as simple a goal as possible. Think about it like writing a thesis. You know, your thesis should be one line. It should be as simple as possible. And if you start getting distracted with, you know, adding in extra ideas, so you step away from your thesis, and you're not able to make your point as clearly. So if you want to make a clear point, you need to know exactly what am I teaching. My kid came home, they need to know how to read and translate a pasuk, so I need to teach them how to read and translate a pasuk. My kid, for their test, they're learning ideas klolios, they're learning general ideas. I need to teach them how old did Abraham Avinu live to, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, how old did Moshe Rabbeinu live to? So then I'm just going to teach them facts, right? I'm not going to go find a pasuk and say, here's the pasuk where it shows up in. Now read and translate and tell me what you read and you translate, and now it's, what can we learn from that? If that's not the goal, so then your goal should be simple. What does the teacher want me to do? And how can I do that in the most effective way possible? Because then your kid, they're not going to be confused. They're not going to say, oh, but my parent was saying something about, you know, another explanation. What's the simple goal? Tip number two. It's okay to take breaks. It's okay to take breaks. Right? The Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim, Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, says that if it's impossible for a person to learn without taking an afternoon nap, you're allowed to nap, as long as it doesn't go on for too long. You can take a break. If this is going to help me in my ultimate goal, if this is going to help me do what I need to do effectively, you can take a break. Brakes come in all shapes and sizes. Brakes can be like, you know, tell me what did the teacher say about this? It's not really a break. Break can be a story. I want to tell you a story. So a lot of my Rebbeim have done that. They call it brain breaks. And so they're speaking, and we're being lectured for an hour and a half, and halfway through, they're going to tell me a 5-minute story. They're going to say it's very interesting. Do you know what the story behind this safer is? Do you know what the story behind this author is? And so for 5 minutes, I'm not sitting forward, I'm not taking notes, I'm not doing any of that. I'm able to sit back, and I just listen. And for those 5 minutes, I'm getting a break, and I'm getting something interesting, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing, but I'm getting a break. And those breaks are super important, because sometimes we're going to say, you know, I'm here to teach my kid. And so I'm going to teach my kid. And for 10 minutes, 10 minutes is not a lot of time, but maybe, you know, everyone's has different levels. So for 10 minutes, I'm going to teach my kid, and we're not going to take any breaks. For some kids, that's fine. I would like to say I would have been able to do that growing up, and I think I had that a little bit. But for some kids, that doesn't work. For some kids, for 10 minutes, they need a 1-minute break in the middle. And so part of it's knowing your kid, but part of it's knowing yourself and saying that, you know, it's okay to take a break. It's okay that I'm going to stop here, and I'm just going to ask my kid, how was your day? How was this class? You know, how do you feel about your knowledge so far? Do you think you got it? Do you think you don't have it? You know, I'm going to tell them a story. I'm going to tell them a joke. I'm going to let them go, stand up and take a drink of water, whatever it is, but it's okay to take breaks. And you know, some people, it can be hard learning with your parent. It can be hard learning, especially with your parent. And so sometimes they need the break. And so it's okay to give them that break. And we want to give them that break, because then it'll help them learn, it'll help them be as effective as possible and learn what we want them to learn. Tip 3, and the final tip for today, is say, I don't know. Okay? Say, I don't know. And so there's 2 reasons for this. So reason number 1 is the Mishnah in Avos, in the second parak, the 5th Mishnah, says, V'lo habayishin lamid. Habayishin, someone who's embarrassed, say, I don't know, doesn't learn. So from a practical standpoint, nobody's going to gain if you say, I don't know. You're not going to gain. You're not going to acquire this new knowledge, something you didn't know before. And your kid's not going to gain. Your kid, who needs to know some sort of piece of information, or maybe they want to know some piece of information, you're going to teach them incorrectly. Right? If you're making up something, so then they're going to be misguided. So below habayishin lamed, an embarrassed person doesn't learn. And you know, it's something I think I can first attribute a lot of success to it, a lot of my personal success to it. But something I'm very proud of is that I ask questions. If I'm not sure, I ask questions, and I think I've learned so much from that. And people really respect it. They really do. Which brings me to my second point. Rashi, the commentary on Chumash, really on all of Tanakh, most of Tanakh, and on Gemara, on most of the Gemara. So on Chumash especially, he says at the beginning, I'm only here to explain the basic, simple understanding. I'm not here to give you anything complicated, just the simple understanding. And a number of times, I don't have the exact number, but a number of times, Rashi says, you know, I looked at this pasuk, I thought about it, I looked around, I don't know. I don't know what this pasuk is trying to teach me. I'm not sure. And Rashi goes out of his way to say, I don't know. Because people respect it. And people respect what you know more when you're able to admit that I don't know something. Right? Your kids are going to see right through it. If you say, oh, yeah, that means this. And you just throw out an answer. Right? So then your kids are, maybe once you can get away with it, maybe twice, but they're going to see right through it. Although, as a side point, I would say that you're allowed to take an educated guess. You're allowed to say, I don't know, but, and then give your guess. I don't know, but I know these other sources, and maybe you could say this. I don't know, but based on the words of the pasuk, maybe I would say this. And so that's okay, because you said, I don't know, but you're still taking a stab at it. And so once you said, I don't know, so then you could either take a guess at it, and that could be that, or you can look it up. You can ask your LOR, your local Orthodox rabbi. You could ask a friend. You could ask Rabbi Google. You know, almost anything that you want can be found. I Google things all the time. I thought I heard something once, and I wasn't sure where it was, and I type it in English. Sometimes, if I really want to be specific, I'll type it in to Google in Hebrew, and you can find the place. Or you can find even more information on it. You know, I want to know more about Slichos, so I'm just going to type in Slichos, or the meaning of Slichos, and you find so much. And so, not only are you saying, I don't know, not only are you going to gain the respect of your child and say, even though I know all this, there's something I don't know and I'm able to admit to that, but you're going to learn together. And not only are you going to help, help them cement everything they've learned in school, but also you're going to be part of that learning process. You're going to show that I value learning and I want to learn along with you. Okay, so that was a lot of information. So just to summarize, we went through two backgrounds to learning with kids. Number one is Rav Schechter says the mitzvah of Puru Revu after Matan Torah changed from just populating the earth to populating the earth with children with Jewish values. And then number two, our yeshiva system. Right, we quoted the Gemara in Bava Basra that said, if it weren't for Yoshua ben Gamla, Torah would have been forgotten, because he set up the system that every single city needs to have a school, needs to have a yeshiva. And that way, every single kid, starting from six, starting from when they're just able to have the capacity to sit and learn, needs to be taught. And then we went through three tips. Know what you want to accomplish. Am I trying to teach a specific skill, a specific fact? What do I want my kids to gain from this? Number two, it's okay to take breaks. Every kid has different capacities. Know your kid, know how long they can do, and know when to take the break. And number three, say, I don't know. Say, I don't know. Number one, by saying, I don't know, you're going to not teach false information, but also you're going to gain the respect and possibly be able to learn together. So these are my tips for homework help for kids. I hope this was helpful. I'm actually, after Sukkot, I'm going to be continuing this by giving specific tips about how to learn Chumash with your kids and how to learn Gemara with your kids. And if there's anyone has any specific suggestions about what you want me to include in that, please feel free to reach out. I have some ideas, but I would love to hear your ideas. And again, if you haven't yet donated to the Cosmatch, please do so now. It's really unprecedented times that this is an unprecedented experience for us, but every single dollar helps. It helps us, again, to do what we do best, to teach Torah to the greater Chicago area. With that, I'm going to share a short video about the Cosmatch before I introduce our next speaker.
As a community, Torah is at our core, and that's why Arkola is here. We enable people to connect to Torah, to connect to each other, and to connect to Hashem.
People come to the Kollel programs in order to gain a deeper, meaningful...